Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
Luke, the 21st chapter, we're going to journey in over the next 3 weeks together, all around the theme that signs of the times are everywhere. There are times in life when a passage of Scripture seemingly has more relevance than at other times. I do not know of a time in my life since I have lived on this planet that the verses that I'm going to read today and teach you from this platform today have been more realistic and more relevant. In fact, I can assure you, to my knowledge, there has never been that time since I've been born. There are many people every week who enter into this worship center or who watch us on television or joining us via the web or even by radio at times, who questions greatly the authority and the trustworthiness of God's Word. And they really wonder whether or not the Bible is real and sometimes deeply believe that it is completely irrelevant to their lives and irrelevant to the day in which we live. I appeal to you today, if that's you, and I appeal to you to do something today that perhaps you've never been able to do about God's Word. Maybe you come in with some presuppositions that just have never let you do what I'm about to ask you to do. But would you be honest with yourself about God's Word? Would you be honest enough to believe it if it's true? And would you be honest enough to reject it if it's not? I believe if you enter into this room or you listen to us today and you've ever wondered if it's actually true that you will leave this room today convinced that God's Word is real and you're convinced more than ever before that it's more relevant today than you've ever seen it to be in today's world. And I just want to say today that regardless if you deem it to be so or not, or I deem it to be so or not, God's Word is trustworthy, God's Word is real, and God's Word is relevant. But today, we're going to choose a section of Scripture in a moment that we're going to read. And we're going to talk to you today about watch out that you are not deceived. Watch out that you are not deceived. Those words come straight out of what was recorded as Jesus said. The Bible tells us these words over in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Verse 5 and 6 to begin with. As some were talking about the temple complex, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, meaning Jesus said, "These things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left on another that will not be thrown down." There were people who were talking about the beauty and the glory and the power and the majesty of the temple and the Temple Mount. In fact, some scholars believe that the Temple Mount was so glorious, it was definitely qualifiable to be in the seven wonders of the world. In fact, it was so awesome in some ways, even some scholars say that there were stones that weighed as much as 540 tons, 70 tons. Pretty remarkable. But listen carefully, when Jesus heard that statement about how powerful and beautiful and glorious the temple was, Jesus said, listen to me, there's going to come a day and this temple is going to be destroyed and not one stone will be left on another. It's exactly what Jesus said. And that was a prophetic word that was fulfilled, listen carefully, within about a 40-year period, depending on how you identify the periods of time. But at 70 AD, the temple of Jerusalem was overthrown and destroyed by the Roman armies, and they captivated all of Jerusalem. The historian Josephus said that there were thousands upon thousands who were murdered and killed who were of the Jewish faith, and many were taken away into captivity. So Jesus gives an imperative word here that in a moment will have great significance for what we're going to talk about. Look with me to Luke chapter 21, verse number 7. Teacher, they ask him, meaning Jesus, so when will these things be? And what will be the sign, key word there, when these things are about to take place? The word sign there that we just emphasized is a word that means what are the distinguishing marks that Jesus is going to come again? What is an indication that this is an important hour in which to live? Now, Luke 21 is the gospel writer's Luke view of what also Matthew recorded over in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. For in the 24th chapter of Matthew, there was an eschatological reference made, meaning a reference to the last things, and there's the last things reference made here. In fact, the question comes, what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? This is clear insight that there is a connection here that goes on from the time Jesus lived then until the time when Jesus will bring it to a conclusion at his coming. There is also a connection between the destruction of the temple and between the coming of the Lord, meaning that the destruction of the temple was a time when God judged that, and then there will be a time in the future when Jesus comes again and he will judge all of the world. Now, the scripture tells us that there is a deep insight here, and that is the connection between the destruction of the temple and the end times. The entire New Testament Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them in their account indicate something that I want you to grab a hold of today. Here it is. There is a present day and there is the final day of the Lord. And then what Matthew 24 is about and what Luke 21 is about is that this is what your lives are going to be like until the Lord comes again. Let me illustrate for you. Let's say Jesus lived right here. Jesus said from the time now, the day of the Lord now, until the day of the Lord in the future, which would be what? The second coming of Christ. Over there is what coming? The first, right? Say first coming. That's the first coming. This is the second coming of the Lord. Here's what Jesus was saying. Between my first coming and my second coming, I'm going to tell you what life's about to be like for all of you who follow me. Are you with me? Now let's see what Jesus says about this. Pretty powerful. Luke chapter 21, verse number 8. The Bible says, then he said, underline this phrase or highlight it in your iPad or if you're on a phone or whatever you're on. Watch out that you are not deceived. That's the title of the message. Watch out that you're not deceived. For many will come in my name saying, I am he. And the time is near. And then underline this phrase, don't follow them. Don't follow them. Now, when Jesus said, watch out, that word watch out means to be careful. It means to be on the alert, be on the alert, be on the alert. Now, when Jesus says, be on the alert, guess what that means in the English language? Be on the alert. That's what it means. And Jesus said, watch out that you're not deceived. What does that word deceived mean? It means seduced. Are you with me? Seduced. It is a seduction. Jesus said, there will be people who will come about, and they may even come in my name. They even may contain certain spiritual truth that I relate, and they're going to seduce you. I want to tell you something. That is so true for American culture today, because we're not real deep with substance. We're drawn to style. We're manipulated by style. We're moved by style. And we're people that are about as deep as a thimble sometimes. And Jesus said, you better be careful or you're going to be seduced by teaching and by leaders that you don't need to be seduced by. So Jesus said these words to us in warning. Follow me now. Watch out that you are not deceived. Let's begin that right now today. What I'm going to do in a moment, I'm going to give you the breakdown of various verses ahead of us in the text, and I'm going to put them together in four groupings. And I want to share with you what Jesus said, you better watch out or you're going to be seduced by them. Watch out or you're going to be manipulated by them. Watch out or you're going to be misled by them. We need to be real, real careful. So what is Jesus teaching us? Well, the first thing is Jesus said, watch out that you're not deceived by what? False leaders. False leaders. There are many in our day that are seduced, including our church itself, from truth, from biblical, scriptural truth, because they become infatuated with someone's style, with someone's communication ability, with someone's humor, or with someone's intellect, that they end up being seduced away from the truth of God's Word. I remember specifically a few years ago, there was a young pastor in America who was highly, highly gifted, very artistic, very gifted as a communicator. Many of our young adults became seduced with him, seduced with and by his teaching. In fact, some of our own staff members became seduced by his teaching. But what's quite remarkable is that when this man pretty well denounced at least some of his faith and some of the validity of God's Word recently, I don't believe he's at his church anymore, but he's become so erroneous that recently on Oprah Winfrey's program, he declared that soon the church, the evangelical church including, will embrace gay marriage. And that was his pronouncement, and he believes we should. Well, there's a great illustration. Seduced by someone who looked like something here but became something here. Prayerfully, if he knows the Lord, that he will come back to the truthfulness of God's Word. But I would notify this pastor, I can tell you right now, Cross Church will never embrace gay marriage. And nor will the evangelical community as a whole that believes God's Word will not embrace gay marriage. And listen very carefully, that's not the point. The point is one thing. You better be careful who you listen to, and you better get your wise understanding of God's Word in your heart, because if you don't, you're going to be deceived. I don't care how long you've been saved and how many Bible studies you've been to and how many small groups you attend and how many times you've been baptized and gone to conferences. I'm going to tell you, man, we better be wise. Now, what's the insight? Well, there's a spiritual insight here, and the spiritual insight is this. You filter everything through God's Word. That's what you do. You filter everything through God's Word. If it doesn't make it through God's Word, you don't need to be talking about it and propagating it. Are you listening? It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, we cannot be seduced by teaching, by lyrics of a song, by the sound of something we like. We need to filter it through the Word of the living God. If it makes it, we celebrate it. If it doesn't, we discard it. Is that quick? Not easy. You say, well, that's pretty like out there. No, it's really not out there. It's what God says in His Word. Jesus said they're going to come in my name, and Jesus said they're going to, somebody going to be claimed to be me. Jesus said these words so profound. Listen to what it says. Don't follow them. Don't follow them. So guess what? When Jesus said that, what does that mean? Don't follow them. Secondly, Jesus told us that we need to not be deceived by global events. Global events. In verse 9 through 11, we read these words. And when you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. Indeed, these things must take place first, but the end won't come right away. And then he told them nation will be raised up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be violent earthquakes and famines and plagues in various places, and there will be terrifying sights and great signs from heaven. Great signs from heaven. We have talked a lot recently about the global crises in our world. And I've said again and again across this country, and I've said it to us many times here at Cross Church, it seems that over the last year, these have accelerated at a rapid pace beyond anything we've ever seen before in our culture. Jesus talked about and warned us not to be deceived by global events. And the Bible speaks about these global events in verse 9 through 11. Let's talk about them briefly. He said, don't be deceived by war. What is war? War is armed conflict. Armed conflict. Then he talks about rebellions. Listen to what rebellions would be. Rebellions would be confusion that is caused, commotion that is caused, instability that is caused, disorder that is caused, disturbance that is caused. Jesus said, those kind of commotions and instability will happen. But the end is not yet here. Now, what's the end? There's the end. What's the end? Second coming of Christ. Where are we at? We're between there and the first coming of the Lord. And he's telling us this is the way life's going to be until I come again. And so the power of the passage here is that Jesus warned us that we had better be well aware. And I want to ask you today, have any of you, do you ever remember a time? Now, some of you went through World War II, may remember this. If you were living in that day of time and you were cognizant of what was going on in the culture at that moment. But do you ever remember a time when there's been more instability in the world than today? More time when things are on the edge more than they are today. The ragged edge of country after country, ethnicity after ethnicity, nation after nation. It's a difficult day. The Bible warns us here in the next phrase, it says that nation will rise against nation. Now, I want to make a distinction here, and I'm doing it biblically, so listen carefully so we'll all be together. The word nation here is not territorial matters. Meaning we have America, and then we have Mexico, and then we have the Dominican Republic. No, not nation like we imagine, nation. But that word nation here, against nation, is the word ethnos in the Greek language. That word is where we get our word ethnicity. Listen carefully. Ethnicity will rise up against ethnicity. We're seeing that in our own culture. We're seeing it all across the world. That's what religious cleansing is about many times. That's what the whole element of certain things happening in the world, in the global system of mankind, is ethnicity against ethnicity. That word ethnos is the same word used over in Acts 17 when it talks about how we come from one people. And how God made us to live in the times in which we live and even where we live so that we might seek our God and might know Him. It's the same word used in the Great Commission by Jesus in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, when he says, go and make disciples of all the what? Nations. What does that nations mean? Does that mean Africa as a continent? Does that mean the nation of Germany? Oh, no, no, not the nation. He's talking about ethnicity. That's why we've told you there are 11,200 people groups or ethnicities in the world today. And just over 3,000 of them have no gospel witness whatsoever at all. And they need the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That's why we have over 2 billion, some say over 3 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus in our world. Meaning they couldn't get saved if they wanted to get saved. They don't know the Lord. They have never heard the name of Jesus. So you with me? Now listen carefully. So ethnicity rises up, and then look at he talks about kingdom against kingdom. Now kingdom is what we understand territorial. Here's a kingdom, a country versus a country. So country will rise up against country as well as ethnicity against ethnicity. We're seeing this today. Bible says there will be earthquakes. Now the earthquake is a mighty shaking of the earth. I've been told when you go through an earthquake, it's got to be quite frightful. How many of y'all have ever been through an earthquake? Raise your hand. My soul and body, I didn't realize all y'all been through that. Y'all need to start a support group. I mean, I'm telling you, that's a lot of people in one room. I just want to declare, I don't really want to be a part of an earthquake. But let me ask you, when that happened, did it create fright in you? Sure. Jesus said there are going to be famines. What's famine? A scarcity of food and a neglect of harvest. And many times because of a lack of clean water around the world. If Doug Sarver were here today, our global missions pastor could stand up and talk profoundly about this whole issue of global hunger. It is real. It is real not only outside of America, it's even real in certain parts of America. He talked about plagues. Plagues would be a disease when in specific places of the world a plague would occur. Just within months ago, we had a plague began. And what is that plague called? Ebola. And it absolutely put fright into even our own nation and even to some of the major cities of our nation. Jesus said this. And Jesus said, we're going to see terrifying sights that we've never seen before. Now think about the terrifying sights you see. The advantage and the disadvantage we have is we live in a web-based world, a technological world, whether it be through the media of television or the media of the web, we can see terrifying sights. I've not seen the videos and have really no interest in seeing the videos of the 21 Coptic Christians who were beheaded beside the Mediterranean Sea. But I'm telling you, I'll never forget when I was on that commercial airlines and I dialed it up as I landed in a city, I think it was Nashville, Tennessee, about 3 or 4 weeks ago on a Sunday night. And that picture came across of those 21 men, young, handsome men, someone's sons and someone's perhaps husbands, and they were beheaded for their faith right beside the Mediterranean Ocean in Libya. I'm telling you, that's a terrifying sight. He talked also about cosmic signs of Revelation 6 that is mentioned here before the Lord comes back. Now listen, what's the insight here? The insight is very encouraging, so you need to be encouraged what I'm about to say. Is that crises point us to the hope that the Lord is coming again. The next time you hear about a crisis in the world, that points you to the hope. What's our hope? What's our hope? You think our hope is in between the first coming and the second coming? Is that your hope? Lord, help you if that's what you think your hope is. Our hope is in the soon return of our Lord. That's our hope. And so right here, those crises point us to the soon coming of the Lord. The third area is persecution and martyrdom. Persecution and martyrdom. Jesus warned us about this. Look at verse 12 through verse 15. The Bible says, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to an opportunity for you to witness. Therefore, make up your minds not to prepare your defense ahead of time, for I will give you such words and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. He warned us about persecution and even martyrdom. So Jesus, as he looked at life, he said, listen, between my first coming and my second coming, here's what your life's going to be like. That's going to be persecution. And there will even be martyrdom. That means that believers will be forcibly captured and persecuted. The Bible says that many of them will be handed into human authority and judged and persecuted and perhaps martyred. And the gospel witness has led them to this experience. Their testimony for Christ, their stand, has led them to this experience. But Jesus said, count it as an open door for the gospel to be shared. That word witness there is the same word for witness over in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus said, but you will receive power where the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my, what? Witnesses. That word witness there is the word in the Greek language called martyr. It is where we get our English word called martyr, meaning that there will be such proof that exists that you follow me, that there will be evidence that you follow me, that there will be a testimony that you follow me, Jesus said. I dial back to the moment in Libya when those 21 Coptic Christians were martyred, forced on their knees beside the Mediterranean Ocean and beheaded. Again, I didn't watch the video and have no passion to watch it. But listen to what the video recorded by those who did. Quote, the people of the cross, meaning those Christians, they are followers of a hostile Egyptian church. Hostile to what? To what the other group believes. Before the killings, one of the militants, according to the video, stood with a knife in his hand and he said these words, and I quote, safety for you crusaders, meaning Christians, is something you can only wish for. We live in a cruel, dangerous, dangerous world today. Now what Jesus says is that when that comes in your life, if it comes to your life, Jesus said, I'm going to see you through. A lot of us would think, okay, well, I better prepare for that time. Jesus said, you can't prepare for that. Jesus said, you don't need to worry about preparing for that. I'm going to see you through it. I'm going to give you wisdom for the moment. That reminds me of my former evangelism professor when I was in seminary years ago named Oscar Thompson, who was a young man, late 40s, early 50s, dying of cancer right before our eyes. And just weeks before his death, he was asking our class, Dr. Thompson, how in the world do you continue doing what you're doing? Walked in, frail, like a skeleton on a cane because of the disease that so impaired his body. And he said these words, I'll never forget him. He said, listen, God only gives dying grace to a dying man. God only gives dying grace to a dying man. And how true that is for us. God gives us grace for the moment. We can't prep for the moment. That's what Jesus said. You can't take a test to get ready, but somehow, some way, I'm going to be there with you, and I'm going to see you through, and I'm going to give you the words to say that you need to say when you need to say it. I'm going to give you the power to stand even today. Before that time, you don't even know how in the world you'll stand. Man. The spiritual insight is what? God will see you through. And Jesus said, it's going to be so powerful. He said, the adversaries and those who might even take your life, they will be left speechless by your testimony. I see while we're sitting here in our comfortable American church, minutes away before we go stuff our bodies for lunch into some kind of afternoon of some kind and into a week of normal labor for most. You grab a hold of this today. There are men and women, boys and girls all overseas, and some even in our home country we may not even know about, who are right now facing massive persecution for their faith in the Lord. Many of them will die. We are in a unique moment in all of Christian history regarding the martyrdom of the faith. It's never been more dangerous than it is today. I know that just months ago, that sweetheart lady named Nagma Abedini was on this stage with me, and I interviewed her about her husband. I know that in the last little while, her husband has witnessed six of his prison mates hung. Listen carefully. This is a real deal. We need to pray for grace and for deliverance. And while the world is so familiar in parts of the world with that element of persecution and martyrdom, let me tell you what America is familiar with. And Jesus warned about it. Hate and betrayal. Hate and betrayal. That's the fourth thing that Jesus said we need to be careful of. Bible says in verse 16 through 19, listen carefully, you will even be betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will kill some of you. You will be hated by everyone because of my name, but not a hair of your head will be lost. By your endurance, gain your lives. Hate and betrayal. Even those closest to you may hate you and betray you, Jesus said. Let me ask you today, have you ever been betrayed by someone? That word betrayed means that you've been given in the hands of others. Jesus was betrayed. Remember in the night before his death there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was betrayed, handed over by Judas, who kissed him and handed him off. He betrayed him, and within hours he was dead and buried. But on the third day, was raised from the dead. Betrayal. Some of you have been betrayed by people in your life, and it's got to be just breathtaking to go through betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed by a friend, by a family member? Hate. America is so boisterous with hate. That's what's wrong with our culture today. It's all over the country. Look what's happened in the last few hours in our own nation. Look at the news. Read it, folks. It's real live. Hate and betrayal everywhere. It even says that some will kill each other. Can you ever imagine a parent betraying a child, a parent abusing a child, hitting a child, abusing them sexually, or a parent doing something and killing their own child, or a child killing their parent? That's the American way of life today. Jesus said it's going to happen. It's going to happen from here to here. This is the way you're going to have to, and you're going to have to learn how to live through all that, Jesus said. And live victoriously. Jesus said they would do it because of my name. There would be people who will hate you because of my name. I'm telling you, there will be times when people would just come after you because they know you're a Christian. I don't believe in being paranoid about that, but I can assure you I deal with that in a little bit. I get somebody's bad mail because they find out I'm a preacher. But here's the great news. Jesus said, when this happens and this hate and betrayal comes, And even when this persecution and martyrdom come, and even through these global events that are frightening, and even when we're led down the wrong way by someone who's leading us falsely, Jesus said, I'm telling you, I'm going to be with you there. I'm going to see you through. And listen to what he says. He says, not one hair of your head will be lost. What does that mean? That means that Jesus said, I'm going to hold you securely in my hand. I mean, when it gets rough, and I mean, the waves are out here and they're tumultuous and they're almost overcoming you. I'm telling you, Jesus said, not one hair of your head is going to be lost. I'm going to hold you secure. I'm going to hold you fast, if you may, in my hand. No one can snatch you out of the hand of God. No one can snatch you out of his hand. That's what Jesus said. Well, the insight here, biblically, is security in Christ will empower you to persevere to the end. We don't know a lot about perseverance. We typically sometimes give up before we ever even get to the finish line. Don't give up. Hold on. Persevere to the end. You're in a bad marriage? Persevere. You got a bad kid? Persevere. You got a bad wife? Persevere. You got a horrible husband? Persevere. You got a bad employer, persevere. You got a bad employee, persevere. Persevere. Hold on, stay true. So with all of those threats that are alarming, Jesus said they're all around us and we cannot be ignore any of them. What did Jesus tell us? Jesus said, listen, there are some ways I want you to respond. And here's what Jesus said he wants us to respond like. So look at this real quickly, and we'll dismiss you today. This is a wonderful way to bring a conclusion to today. Jesus tells us, first of all, be a witness. Be a witness. Be a witness. There's some of us today, we think this day will never come. Some of you try to hide behind something and not let people know too much about where you stand. I'm telling you, there's coming a day no one can hide behind anything. It will be as clear as day what you believe. And you will have to stand or you will absolutely deny our Lord. It's here, folks. It's not going to be here. It's here. You listen to me today. It's going to cost you and your job at times. Could cost your career. What are you going to do? You're going to suck up? You're going to cower down? What are you going to do? Are you going to stand? Oh, I'm not talking about standing and being obnoxious. You don't need to be obnoxious. But you need to be willing to stand. Stand clearly. And let people know who you are. Be a witness, Jesus said. Jesus also said, trust God for wisdom. That's what he was talking about a while ago. You trust me for wisdom. It's hard to prepare for those moments. I don't have the answer for those moments. I don't know how I'm going to prepare for what I face tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. But whatever I face tomorrow, God will somehow see me through tomorrow. Some of you have been through disease. Some of you have been through loss. Some of you have been through losing your kids, losing your marriage, losing your future. You've lost your jobs. You've lost money. You've lost everything. And you'd have never in your mind ever thought, how could I get through there? Somehow. God saw you through. And you held on. And God gave you wisdom for the moment. For the moment. And then he tells us to rest in your spiritual security. There's no security apart from who we are in Christ. None. None. You think your stock and your bonds, you think your CDs, do you think your wealth is going to secure you? There's no security in that. Read the book of Proverbs. It says, here today, gone tomorrow. That's why you better invest it now. You don't have any security about your health. Hey, I'm a workout guy. I could die today. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised next Sunday. I'm promised this moment, at this moment, right now, at this moment. And I've got to rest that I am born again by the Spirit of God. I have been saved and changed by God's power, and I am in His hand. I am in His hand. And I've got to rest there. And Jesus said, persevere to the end. Persevere to the end. I'm going to tell you what I found in life. And again, I've lost some things, but I hadn't lost as much as some people in this room. I still have the same wife. My kids are graced, and my grandkids are graced. But I can tell you one thing. I know there are people in this room. This is where my mother was. When my daddy died, she looked right over there. Right over there. That's the way Gina's mama is. She's 91, right? 91. She lost her husband in 19, whenever it was, 90 what? 98, whenever. All those years. But I'm telling you, all these years, that old pastor's wife, she looked right over there. She keeps saying, some people just live too long. But she's still driving. I'm glad I don't live there. But she loves the Lord. See, there's some of you, you're looking here. Don't put your eyes here. There's no hope here. None. 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 Hope's right there. Right there. The Lord's going to come back. Right there. And then when you keep your eyes there, somehow, some way, don't know how it's going to happen, but God gives you the grace to see you through, and you persevere to the end. Be encouraged today. Jesus holds you fast.